Alrighty, folks, welcome back. Now this one's a little bit, this one's kind of interesting. This is kind of more of a social experiment I did with myself. If you all follow my social media, you probably saw that I made like this post, and I was like, hey, I'm gonna probably get off my social media for a while. Now I want to tell you kind of why I did that. So I have a lot of theories that were involved with this. I'm like, okay, what's really going on with social media? Is it good? Is it bad? I mean, I think we all collectively agree it's probably not ideal. I think we can all see some potential downsides to it. I think the big question is how much is it actually affecting us, right? And we all talk crap on social media, yet we stay on it, right? For like, oh yeah, social media is the worst, and social media is this, and social media causes these problems, and yeah, I mean it's just terrible, but and then we're scrolling through reels. So that's kind of what I was starting to notice is that I kind of was talking crap on it a lot, but I realized but I don't really do anything about it. I still stay on it because, well, I like the benefits that it provides, right? And we tell ourselves, oh well, if we don't have social media, we can't stay in touch with people that we care about. We don't know what's going on with people's lives. All true, by the way. I can definitely see where that comes from. My brother cut out social media, let's see, maybe a year and a half ago, something like that. And then about a few months ago, I think he just deleted everything. So at first he kind of deactivated it, which is what I did with all my social media accounts. I deleted some, I deactivated most of them, just so that I didn't even show up in searches or anything like that, which is kind of handy. Because I wasn't sure I was ready to go full bore on this thing. And having his example there, I said, hey, so Peyton, like, what's is this worth it? Is it good? Is it bad? I mean, you feel like you're getting good benefits out of it. And overall, what I learned from talking to my brother was that it was super positive for him, very much worth it. Peyton's kind of extreme though in some ways. He kind of makes his mind up on something and he just kind of goes for it. So I was like, I don't know, I don't want to be, and I don't know if I got the willpower that Peyton has. And he finds a lot of happiness out of very simple things. I was like, I just don't know if I'm gonna be, if I'm gonna enjoy that. So I had a lot of resistance. Eventually, here's kind of what I decided, or a couple observations I began to notice. Number one, I was taking pictures of everything for all the wrong reasons, and it kind of bothered me. I go on this amazing hike or to this really cool place or an amazing waterfall or whatever, and I felt the need to take a picture so that everyone else knew that I was doing cool stuff. And I mean, this is kind of another vulnerable episode. I mean, I'll admit I got a lot of ego attached to some of the things that I do. And I kept on wanting other people to know how cool my life was and, what cool stuff I was up to. And so I kept, posting about this and trying to get that amazing photo. And, that was definitely a piece of it. I found myself really kind of not obsessing, but definitely noticing how many followers I had on my social media accounts. And like kind of saying, what do I have to do to get to X number? And it was a little bit weird. I'm like, why do I care so much? Well, that's because, and the excuse is, well, Brunson, it's because you want your podcast to grow, and the more followers you have, the better your podcast grows. I'm like, no, I think it's probably an ego thing. It probably really was. I have an ego. I want everyone to know how cool I am, all the cool stuff I do, and that's what's kind of providing this interest in a huge social media following. And I think there's a bit of a badge of honor, right, in our society. How many followers do you have? Oh, you got 10,000. Wow, what do you do? That's pretty cool. You must have something figured out. I also began to realize that the people that run social media are not our buddies. Mark Zuckerberg is a functioning sociopath. Jack Dorsey, a functioning sociopath. A lot of the social media accounts were designed by sociopathic personalities who genuinely, I think, get a bit of a high off of controlling people. This is my radical opinion, but I do not think that they are our friends. The algorithms are designed to be addictive. They're designed to know you better than you know yourself. They're designed to get so dialed. I mean, yes, it's to make money, but I do think there's another piece of it. I think the kind of people that run these businesses, they're not good people. They are very, very disconnected from normal reality. They look at us all like little cogs in their wheelhouse. It kind of started to bother me a little bit. I'm like, I don't really want to be Zuckerberg's, little pawn that he gets to move around, and he's got all this data on me, and he try uses it to manipulate and control me, which is really what goes on. I mean, through ads and everything else. I mean, they know you pretty well. The algorithms are pretty impressive about how much information they can collect from you. So that started to bother me quite a bit. Here's another piece with my dating life, and this is I included this with dating apps, by the way. Okay, you take a step back. Let's go back to, I don't know, the 1700s. What would happen is you were born in a town, and you probably knew like one or two people that were your age that were the opposite sex, right? Maybe. I don't know. It depends, probably. I mean, if you live in New York City, even back then, you probably had a few more options, but we really didn't have a lot of options. So as a result of that, we didn't just go around making out with people. That's probably one thing that in the Idaho, Utah culture is still pretty common. The other part of it too was that you didn't have the attitude of, I don't know, lack of effort, because there were so many options. So today, here's the problem with, I think, dating apps. And this is kind of a bit of an aside, but dating apps essentially teach us that there is always 10,000 other options. It's good to know that there's a lot of fish in the sea so you don't get hung up on the wrong person. I agree with that. However, that's not a problem that we face in our society. What goes on is that you go meet someone on a dating app and you go on a date. And this is the same problem at BYU Idaho, BYU Provo, a lot of schools. You go on one date and things don't go perfectly. I'm going to move on because this guy seems desperate and needy and he's going to probably spend more money. You know what I'm talking about? Like, or this girl is, yeah, she's all right, but I've got five other girls that I could go with right now. I mean, I've been messaging them, you know, I'm in their DMs or whatever. So we have this different perspective on dating generally because we look at, there's always another option, so why you don't put real effort into getting to know somebody. You either blow your socks off on date one, or you just move on. And I think that kind of breeds a bit of a narcissistic approach towards dating generally. We look for almost shallow qualities, things that really impress us, things that excite us right off the gate. I'm talking maybe from my own experience, but maybe it sounds familiar to you as well. So I cut out dating apps. I'm like, I don't want to have this screwing with my brain either. It's also a little weird how beauty standards have changed. If you go through Mutual or Hinge or Tinder or any of these other dating apps, you're going to see the 0.0001% of all women in the US. That's what's crazy. I mean, in Idaho and Utah have some beautiful women. Don't get me wrong, but you get to see all those right out the gate in Idaho and Utah. And at least for me, I mean, maybe the same for girls too. They're probably a little bit different in some ways, but I'm maybe talking more to the guys right now. What a horrible comparison. All you know is that there's these gorgeous, gorgeous women, and frankly, you and I probably don't have a chance of them. Not because we're not good enough, you know. This is not like any kind of like beat down about my self-esteem. I believe I'm a great salesman. I'm persuasive, and I'm, you know, I can be patient. I can shoot for what I want. Don't get me wrong, but I'm looking at people who have really one criteria that stands out. They look really, really hot on a picture. That's it. Like, okay, then you read their profile. Okay, here's some other cool stuff about them. But really, like, all you're doing is just power swiping through, you know, Mutual or Tinder or one of these other dating apps, right? And you're just looking at all these hot girls. And so what it does is it trains your mind to say, this is what a normal female looks like in my society. Well, why am I not meeting any girls like that now? And you get really, really picky about the type of look that you're into. And you only date these girls that are absolute dimes. And the problem with that is a lot of girls that are extremely gorgeous, sometimes it's because they understand makeup really well, right? They know how to make themselves look a certain way. I don't know if that's a huge benefit, but it doesn't seem like it. So what happens is it completely shifts the game of dating, and the girls that get the most attention sometimes deserve it the least. And so it really screws with your head. And it's not our fault. I mean, as men, we're pretty visual. And if all you're seeing all day, every day is all these gorgeous, beautiful, exotic looking women, how on earth would you ever be happy with just someone who's very pretty, right? No, I can do better than that. I can do better. There's so much pretty girls out there. I'm seeing tons of them. I'll have to, you know, I just have to find one of these kind of girls, right? It's like, no, but you're seeing the 0.001%. And on top of that, how you look on social media and how you look on a dating app is probably very different than how you look in real life. I mean, I could tell you a handful of catfishing stories where the person that I went on a date with did not look remotely like the person in those pictures. So that's the problem too, is that it can really screw with your head. So that's kind of some of the main reasons I decided to make this jump. I was like, all right, let's just try this out. Let me tell you about the results. So before this sounds really, really bad, by the way, but I was spending somewhere around 20 hours a week on social media. Now, before you freak out, Part of that was for work, and part of that was for some other projects I was working on. But I can confidently say that at least 10 hours a month or a week were being spent just wasting time on social media. And I'm like, how does he even have that kind of time? Well, it's amazing. Like, if every time you're bored, you pull out your phone and you stay on it for 30 minutes, it's pretty easy to log 10 hours a week. That's more common with people my age probably than the generation or two older than me. But I was blown away by the amount of time I was spending on social media. And part of it's because the algorithms are so well dialed to entertain you. They really do dial into exactly what makes you tick. So here's what happened to my time spent on social media was it went from 20 hours a week on social media to zero because I cut it all out. My overall time on my phone was some weeks literally 30 hours. And this, again, it wasn't phone only. It was phone, iPad, all my devices collectively. A lot of that was work involved. But my time on my phone was, 30 hours sometimes. And now my average per day, I think, is 2 hours, which is almost exclusively work. And a little bit of Googling things that I find interesting. But that it completely changed the amount of time I spent on my phone. And for the first, I don't know, maybe 2 weeks, I pulled out my phone every 10 minutes and would scroll through where my social media app icons used to be. Oh, close it out. I mean, to have it, it happened like every sometimes every like half hour. There was a lull in the conversation. I'm dry, I'm waiting for someone somewhere. I mean, just whatever happened, any kind of moment of boredom, instantly. Knee-jerk reaction, pull out your phone, just see what everyone else is up to. Here's the thing I didn't expect. Within about 2 weeks, and I should also tag on here. I didn't just cut out social media, I actually cut out dating completely. And I'll go into that just for a second here. I was finding that dating for me was less about finding someone to marry and more about a dopamine rush. And this is very much just a me thing, by the way. This is not anything I'm endorsing for others necessarily. I had some thoughts on it, but I was going on dates primarily because I just wanted someone that provided me with some kind of like stimulation, right? Just something interesting, something, potentially exciting. Every time I went to an event, I'm like, oh, I hope there's a cute girl here that I can kind of flirt with, right? And it really affected me quite a bit. I found that a lot of my time was being spent chasing women on social media or on dating apps or whatever else. And it was wasting a tremendous amount of my time. And just even like scrolling through pictures of girls on these dating apps and just being like, okay, well, who's cute in this area? And it was involving so much of my headspace. It really bothered me. It's like, you know what? We're just gonna cut it out for a while. And some people would think that's maybe unhealthy because how are you supposed to find a wife if you don't date? How are you supposed to know what you like? Well, I'm 27 years old. I've been dating for a long time. I already know what I'm looking for. It's not a question of having not gone on a lot of dates. I've gone on a lot of dates. So that's why for me, it's like this is a redundant activity. If I find someone that I really, really like and we can have a friendship for a while, then I'll just pretty much ask her to date me, right? I'm not gonna ask her on a date and see how we get along. That's just not vibing for me what I want to do right now. So that was the approach that I took. Really was very beneficial for me. And the cool thing too is it really improved the relationships with the females in my life. I had more headspace to invest in my friendships, and so I had all these other lady friends that I would spend time with, and I'm like, yeah, I'm not here to date anybody, and I'm not here to kiss anybody, I'm not here to flirt with anybody. So what I would do is I would just invest in them as just as friends, and it really improved a lot of my friendships in my life. So instantly, going back to the overall results of what happened here, instantly, massive increase in happiness. That was the most prevalent thing that I noticed. And I'm not going to say, oh, I think I'm a little bit happier. I'm talking, I was three, four, five times happier day to day than I was before. Shockingly. And actually, I can say that I think I've sensed this decision. And there was other things that were involved, by the way. There's a lot of things in there. I really got into meditation. I really got into some other things that were very healthy. I cleared out some things out of the closet that had been bogging me down. And I can say that I'm enjoying the happiest I've ever had in my life. I'm pretty sure. At least I can't remember a time that I've been more happy. It's not like a exuberance that I'm experiencing all the time. It's just I'm at a level six, a level seven, almost always. I don't get blue. I don't really get sad. Not very often, anyways. I just kind of am just like a level contentment with my life. I think what's happening largely is that I stopped comparing myself. Here's kind of a crazy thing that happened. So I was in Cancun on a whim, out of nowhere, just bought a flight, found a flight for like 100 and, I don't know, it's like 120 bucks round trip out of Texas. And so I flew down to Cancun. I'm sitting in this Mayan monkey hostel in Tulum, looking out over the palm trees, just enjoying this the ocean breeze. I mean, it was this picturesque scene. And I'm sitting there on social media, scrolling through, and subconsciously, I don't know if I consciously thought this, but I kind of caught myself thinking to some degree. I saw someone post about something where they were at, maybe like at Lake Powell with a bunch of cool people. And I'm like, oh, they have it all. And it was the, and I caught myself and I'm like, what on earth am I talking about? I'm here on social media looking at how amazing everyone else's life is except mine. Yet I'm in Cancun, 10 minutes from the beach, doing something that I absolutely love. Yet my life isn't that good because so and so looks like they have it better. And that's what this, it's this weird game that we play. My buddy talked to me about the Provo effect, which shout out to Josh, by the way. But I asked him once, I said, do you feel like you get invited to stuff all the time when you're in Provo? And he's like, no, not at all. I was like, that's funny because that's how I feel. But I feel like you, Josh, get invited to stuff all the time. Everyone wants you around. You get invited to all the cool parties, all the cool things. And he's like, really? Yeah. He's like, that's funny. Like, I would have thought the same thing about you. I feel like you get invited to all this cool stuff, all these cool parties. We all look around because on social media, partly I think is part of the problem. Everyone else is doing something cooler than us. They get invited to all the really cool stuff. I mean, yeah, we get invited to a game night once in a while, but they're doing all the cool stuff. And the thing about it is, I've talked to the people that are genuinely so popular and have so many friends and get invited to stuff all the time. And it's crazy to me that they feel the exact same way. Yeah, I don't feel like I get invited to stuff really that often. I'm like, what? You were always doing stuff. Oh yeah, but like, but I don't do like those crazy trips. Like that one person, he got invited to like to this Mexico thing, and this other person got invited to someone else's cabin, and we look around and we just see everyone else having a better time than us, and it's pretty toxic. So there's no wonder. Like, of course we feel miserable all the time. Everyone has a better life than us. Everyone's happy except us. Everyone's got it all going on. Everyone's more fit. I'm not, I mean, I'm not the fittest guy on the planet, but I enjoy, I think, pretty good fitness, right? I'm decently athletic. And yet I looked around at these guys that had these just unbelievably like chiseled bodies. And I'm like, oh, see, I feel like a pig, you know? And it's so messed up. It's so backwards. And the other irony too is that I actually started putting on a lot of healthy muscle almost instantly after I kind of got rid of social media. I'm not sure why that happened. I'm not sure if there was, if it was correlated in any way, but it was quite fascinating. And I don't feel sad anymore about like, oh, I just wish I had like 10 more pounds of muscle, right? Because you can never, you're always too skinny or you're always too fat, you're always too something, right? And it was interesting. I just kind of stopped caring. Other things that happened, I stopped feeling the need to impress people as much. And this is an interesting one, but I haven't quite dialed in exactly what happened, but I'd spend a lot of headspace hoping people thought that I was interesting or cool or fascinating. And when I deleted social media, it just like went away. I can't really explain it. It just was gone. I felt a tremendous amount of peace in my interpersonal relationships. I didn't feel a need to stand out, to be something, to act a certain way. I just really genuinely lived my life. And I felt a tremendous amount of peace from it. And I don't know, I can't really put this into words as well as I would like, but the results were profound. Of all of a sudden I had all this headspace. All of a sudden I had all this emotional energy. All of a sudden I was investing in friends effortlessly. I became more extroverted. And it wasn't like this, I need to have giant parties all the time. It was just like, I just want people around me. And when I was with them, I felt like less of a need to take emotionally and more of a need to give emotionally. Hey, how are you doing? I was asking questions about their life. I didn't feel as much need to talk about myself. And being also very transparent, one of my weaknesses is that the more insecure that I feel, the more of a tendency I have to talk about myself. Having those comparisons removed, I felt much more secure about myself. So guess what? I'm asking other people about their lives and trying to help them feel secure instead. I went from a black hole of energy to maybe more of a giving source of energy. One more piece for probably the guys specifically. Now, I know that my audience is very, very mixed, but probably a healthy number of you are LDS or religious or Christian or believe in God in some way. For me, I found I think that porn is pretty evil. I think it's a terrible industry that's quite enslaving, and I don't agree with it morally. Yet, like most men, it's something that I struggle with, and it's something that I fight. I found that the fight virtually disappeared. Now, and here's why. Here's my opinion: is that social media knows it dials in, right? The algorithms are really powerful. I'm scrolling through, and all I'm seeing is just really hot girls doing their little TikTok dances, right? And guess what? It's pretty effective. It works pretty well on men. And so, having that gone, all these triggering events just kind of disappeared. And all of a sudden, I felt like my brain just went back to normal. I mean, you can imagine, like, never in human history has a guy had access 24/7 to extremely alluring photos and videos and dances and whatever else. I mean, that is literally at your fingertips 24/7. And the thing is that you're getting stuff you don't really want. It's not like I'm seeking this stuff out. It's that I'm just scrolling through social media and boom, something else pops up and something else pops up and something else pops up. And it just screws with your head all day long. And it takes a tremendous amount of willpower to not stop and stay a while when these photos, videos, TikToks, whatever pop up into your feed. So I'll think most of the guys, maybe some of the women here, are like confused about what I'm talking about, but the guys probably, I'm sure that almost every guy here understands exactly what I'm talking about. It completely transformed this experience for me. And some of these like temptations, you might call them, or difficulties or whatever, completely changed it. I can't even explain how radical the difference was. And I found myself less looking for a dopamine rush from women and more looking for connection. That's one that was really interesting as well. I think a lot of single men especially understand this, that sometimes you're just looking for someone that you just want to spend the rest of your life with. And other times you're looking for someone who's going to be just interesting or a good makeout, right? Or whatever. I mean, and that's the reality. I think it's kind of the elephant in the room for a lot of us, that people don't like to admit that that's a motivation of theirs. But guys and girls, I think it's pretty common. Other things that I've realized this too, well, this is kind of a quick aside, but like a lot of these social media apps, they really are quite evil in many ways. And one of them, like TikTok, for example, is a quick aside. I've heard is increasing the prevalence and the acceptance of pedophilia. You have 14-year-old girls down to 8-year-old girls down to whatever age dressing up as grown women, acting like grown women, and posting intentionally super seductive videos, and then going, "But I'm 17, so like don't message me." I mean, it's crazy stuff. It's crazy that this is happening, and it's extremely common. I mean, a lot of these TikTok stars are 16 or 15 or 14. They have millions of people following them, millions of people who probably fantasize over them, right? And they're young girls. And so this is something that they do. I think, well, and TikTok is also owned by China, which is probably not the best sign. And they have access to tons of your data, by the way. I don't, if you ever want to get tripped out, I think Joe Rogan talks about this, but look what they have access to. If you even have TikTok on your phone, you've probably noticed the government has really cracked down. You can't have it in a government building, if you're a government employee. And you can't have it on any phones where a conversation could be overheard because they have access to crazy stuff, your camera, your microphone. And they apparently, and this is what I was, I haven't double checked this myself, but they apparently have found that they can just tap into your camera at any time, and they see that happening. So just know that someone in probably somewhere in China is just listening to all your conversations. So that kind of bothers me. I wasn't a huge fan of that. Anyways, there's just a lot of pieces at play here. And the more I started to calculate what I was losing, it just didn't make sense for me anymore. Now, am I going to completely delete all my social media? I don't think so. I'm keeping my Facebook deactivated. And the reason for that is I do still want access to my Facebook Messenger. That's one place that people can contact me. They can send me a message if they don't have my phone number, which a lot of my friends don't, just because we don't need it because of social media. So that's where I've kind of kept things, is that if they're looking for me, they can just look me up on Messenger, and they can always contact me that way. Recently, I found out that you can only deactivate your Instagram once a week. I logged in a couple of days ago for the first time in 3 months to contact a friend that I just couldn't get a hold of otherwise. So then I have to wait for a week before I can re-deactivate it. So that's kind of frustrating. However, I do think everything else is just, I'm just done with it. And my Instagram, the reason I'm keeping my Instagram, potentially, I haven't decided for sure if I'm going to do this, but with my, what I'll probably end up doing with it is keeping those followers, because a lot of them are people that know me. Rebranding it as my podcast, and then having a third party manage it for me. So literally, I wouldn't even know the password to it. I'd have someone else who does my management of my podcast, who helps me grow my social media side of it, who just posts clips of different episodes that I'm on, which is a ways out. I'm still working on restructuring my podcast, the Pivot Entrepreneur, which is going to be kind of my main core, hopefully kind of more of my main business podcast. And that one, I've got episodes I've recorded. I'm just kind of waiting to release them until things are kind of lined up the way I want them. And when that happens, I'll probably actually hire someone who does all my social media management. I don't even know the passwords to it, but they can use my followers as a base to get the ball rolling on it. And there's people there that know me that would be interested in what I'm publishing. So, or I might just have a moment of compulsive frustration and delete the whole thing and just get rid of Instagram altogether. So that's also very possible. I have not found it to be beneficial. So Brunson, the whole takeaway, what have you decided? I've decided that social media does not belong in my life. Now, does that mean I'll never have it? I don't really know. I don't want to, I didn't promise anything to myself because I just want to be able to roll with the punches and see what's necessary in my life. There are some downsides. I like being able to tell people quickly and efficiently, here's something I'm working on. I would love your support. Recently, I've been recruiting some specific people, but I'm recruiting for solar sales. It's really handy to make a social media post and say, hey, who's looking for something to do this summer? Oh, great. Send me a message if you're interested. That's kind of handy to do. But really, not worth the downsides of social media. Not even close. Obviously, it's nice to know what's going on in people's lives, but it's not worth having the comparisons. And I'd rather just have a good conversation with them. Because when you talk to someone about it, I think you feel way less comparative. I go talk to a friend and say, hey, how's your life? It's good. Ups and downs, kind of struggling here, kind of struggling here, but I had this really cool Lake Powell trip. Well, before I would have just assumed their life was perfect and they just had a Lake Powell trip. But instead you get to actually have a human-to-human interaction. You talk to them, you get to know them, you figure out who they've become since the last time you talked. It's so much more fulfilling, and I leave personally walking away feeling charged, feeling better about the way my life is going, as opposed to they've got it all figured out. They have all these friends. Everything's perfect in their life, and mine sucks. And I think I didn't realize how much it was affecting me until I actually got rid of it. I think that we talk about that a lot. Oh yeah, it creates comparisons, and I really thought it didn't for me. I was like, oh, it doesn't really affect me. Like, I don't think I live a really happy life. It doesn't affect me, but it totally did. Because the day that almost within a week of deleting it, I just was tremendously happy all the time, and didn't feel a need to like keep up with the Joneses, So, anyways, so those are some of my thoughts there. If you're thinking about deleting social media, I'd say just, yeah, go deactivate everything. Give it a couple months. It's not going to hurt you. And everyone always thinks that they're like giving up their right arm, but you're really not. I mean, it's very much a mind game that we play. Like, why do we cling so tightly to social media? Well, I really like it. And I've asked my friends, why do you keep your social media? Why? Well, I just feel that da, 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 and like and they're just kind of talking out of their butt, it feels like, all the time. And I was doing the exact same with my brother, Brunson. Why don't you delete social media? I don't know, Peyton. It's really important for my business. How often use it for your business? 0.001% of the time. The bottom line is I want quick, easy dopamine access. I'm bored, entertain me, boom. And it does. Very effectively. And it made me absolutely miserable. And, so I would say if you're thinking about it, just pull the trigger. Give it a few months. And unless you find it's critical for your life, man, it's just not great to have around. The one thing I've thought about doing actually, and I will say this one little disclaimer, I've thought about having a family Facebook account that I'm going to share with my siblings. So, like, if I can rope my siblings into this, I'd love to have my whole family just kind of share one big Facebook account. We have a few family photos on there. People can at least see a family picture if they want to, and we can use some of the other apps. Like, I don't really want to follow anybody. I just think people can look us up if they want to. But we can use like Facebook Marketplace, which is pretty handy. And then there's different Facebook groups that give you access to a lot of information. Like, I'm part of some motorcycling groups, I'm part of some sailing groups, I'm part of some, different social media programs. So there's some advantages to having social media for getting access to different groups. I've thought about just having my own little, like, kind of hack account that me and friends and family all log into, because it's not private. I mean, that way it's like, don't follow anybody. Don't use this for anything other than just like business purposes or looking something up that you could only get on Facebook for. That's kind of my leading theory. So hopefully I can find myself a gal who's willing to be as crazy as I am about this. I think that the bottom line is that we live in a world that is becoming completely symbiotic with technology, and there are some advantages. Obviously, otherwise we wouldn't keep doing it, but the disadvantages are enormous and powerful. And I'd rather find a way to harvest the best and remove the worst. I can't tell you that it's how much it affects our happiness. And really, all that we're chasing almost every single day is just happiness. Even on social media, everywhere. We just want to feel good. And the funny thing is, sometimes the easiest way to feel good is to just cut out some of the weeds. So, food for thought, everybody. Hope this episode has been insightful. Hope that you've had some thoughts. If you decide to do it, contact me. I'd love to hear your story. I love hearing from people and what they're doing with their life. So, and especially, guess what? I'm not on social media anymore. So, contact me directly. Hit me up on Facebook Messenger or, actually, that's pretty much it. If you have my phone number, shoot me a text. But love to hear from y'all. And we'll see you on the next episode.